In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called, ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please take the insert for the first Sunday after Christmas as we chant the intro.
The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God.
Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the
Thank you.
Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us, and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament lesson for the first Sunday after Christmas is from Isaiah chapter 61 and 62. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant Psalm 111 from the front of your hymnals responsibly by holders.
Praise the Lord, I'll give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Is his work, and his righteousness endures forever.
He has caused his highest works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful.
He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. All his precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is to be blessed. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His grace endures forever. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to
to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Alleluia in verse.
According to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, to offer a sacrifice. According to what is set in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Nicene Creed, page 206.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten as his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Hymn 389. You may be seated.
Jesus, their Savior, to his first visit to the temple. Subsequent visits to the temple by Jesus will not be characterized by such peacefulness. But now, it's just a wholesome picture of a young family performing their pious duties, paired with the devout joy of two elderly members of the church. Simeon, to whom it had been promised that he would see his Savior face to face in this earthly life, greets Mary and Joseph and praise the very first Nunc Dimittis. Fittingly, this is the same canticle we sing after departing from the feast of our Lord's Supper. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. And Anna, Christianity's first church lady, also greets Mary and Joseph. And beholding the beautiful countenance of the baby Jesus, she proceeds to proclaim the good news to all who will hear it. Her devotion to the Lord's work preceded Jesus' birth. But now, laying eyes on her Savior, her work finds its true purpose. This brief episode may be layered, but its beauty is simple. Simple. It is the revelation of the Word become flesh. One of the early such revelations in Luke's Gospel, but neither the first, nor certainly not the last. It is the way in which the Lord's Christ, who became a man, was made known to those he came to save. But more to the point, its simple beauty reveals some profound themes running through the life of our Savior. Jesus Christ came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. We know from St. Paul that Jesus freed us from the law, but we misunderstand Paul if we think that Jesus came to overturn the law. He came to live under the law. God's law was not a provisional enactment applicable only to the Old Testament Israelites. It was not a mere response to Adam's disobedience or the Israelites' griping in the wilderness. God's law is his eternal will for you. And he can no more have sought to overturn his eternal will than he could have denied his desire that all men be saved. In Advent and on Christmas, we ponder the prophecies forecasting the birth of Christ, the anticipation of Christ's coming, and his fulfillment of those prophecies in his miraculous birth. Yet as miraculous as is Christ's incarnation, it finds its true meaning only in his work on this earth, in his perfect life, and in his perfect death. This is the purpose for which he was born. Coming to the temple on the 40th day after Jesus' birth was precisely what Moses' law required of an Israelite mother seeking purification. And there in the temple, the priest declared Mary purified. But this day, Luke tells us, was also the purification of Jesus. It was Mary who carried the baby into the temple, but in a very real sense, it was Jesus who brought Mary to her purification under the law. It was not the temple priest, but the true high priest who purified Mary. But note this small, unmentioned fact. Moses' law required the parents to bring a lamb and either a turtle dove or a pigeon for a sacrifice to God. Mary and Joseph brought the birds, but not the lamb. This was the poor man's sacrifice. If you couldn't afford a lamb, the Levitical law made a provision for you. But we also know Mary and Joseph brought the lamb, their own son, to sacrifice to the Lord. No lamb was required of Mary and Joseph because the lamb was already provided. In all this, we see Christ's mission on earth and the method by which he would achieve it. Today, the ceremonial rite strikes us, even as sacramental Christians, as an odd legalistic prescription. The kind of regulation more at home in a modern corporate compliance department than in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's really just Jesus' opportunity to show us how he will defeat the curse of the law. Not by abolishing it, but by fulfilling it and sacrificing himself to it. For as he taught us in his Sermon on the Mount, not one jot or tittle of the law will be removed till all is fulfilled. Jesus was born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. These early chapters of Luke are replete with talk of fulfillment and completion, what the Old Testament foretold, the gospel now demonstrates. These things must be done, not halfway, but all the way, with exacting attention to every detail of God's law. Christ seeks our purity just as he sought Mary's purity. So nothing less than absolute, total, complete, perfect fulfillment of the law would suit Christ's mission. And as we have already said, God's law is not something only for a period of time, applicable for those days, but no longer for us. It's easy for us in this age of democracy to see law as something impermanent. An act of Congress in 2024 can easily nullify an act of Congress from 2022. Even our beloved Constitution is subject to amendment. It's happened 27 times in less than 250 years. But God's law is not an act of Congress, nor can it be amended by a two-thirds majority of his congregations. Not even the Pope can change the law, blessing that which was once a sin. God's law is God's eternal will for his creation. In case anyone should blaspheme Christ's crucifixion and turn it into license for all manner of sin, Christ's whole life and his whole ministry teach us otherwise. God's law is not some evil to be avoided or discarded. Jesus himself kept God's law in all its precepts, not in order to destroy it, but to free us from the law's condemnation. Not to turn us into libertines, but that in being freed from the law's curse, we might follow the law out of love for God and love for our neighbor. We usually think of Simeon as an old man. Luke doesn't say that much, but the church's great art depicts him as such. And after all, he had been waiting for this day, and now he was ready to depart this life. And Anna, we know, was ancient. It's almost as if these two, Simeon and Anna, stand in as the father and mother of first century Israel. By conduct and character, this certainly appears to be true. Simeon is just and devout. He awaits the consolation of Israel. Anna did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Here it's easy to imagine a parish priest devoted to God's work and patiently awaiting his new life in heaven, while the local nun, equal in her devotion to the Lord, labors tirelessly in God's kingdom. And therefore, the Lord looked upon these two with favor, through them revealing his incarnate Son to Israel. Let's take Simeon. This glimpse of the Christ incarnate was not the first revelation that had visited him. The Holy Spirit had already revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon bridges the Old Testament and the New. In his earthly life, he had the prophecy from the Holy Spirit. And in his earthly life, he saw the Lord's salvation face to face. He heard the law and the prophets, and he saw their fulfillment in the flesh. This moment when he sees his salvation, not as a prophecy, not as a concept, but as a person, puts us in mind of that moment when we see our own salvation at the Lord's table. There we are reminded that God places himself between death and eternal life. And Simeon gives lovely expression to this same thing. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. This was Jacob's prayer. It was his prayer when he laid his eyes upon his son Joseph, his rescuer. And it's Simeon's prayer when laying eyes upon Joseph's son, his redeemer. And it's our prayer after laying eyes upon our Savior in the flesh. We get Simeon's joy. So he ends his song with the familiar words, "A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." These are almost a command to Anna. Here he is, the consolation of Israel in my arms. Look, then go, tell the rest to come. Simeon was ready to depart this life, but Anna was never ready to depart the temple. Now, seeing Christ, the new temple, the temple incarnate, she never needed to depart, even as she spread the word that salvation had arrived. For Zion's sake, she would not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, she would not be quiet, but rather carried her salvation as a burning torch. God had revealed his salvation to Israel. Now Anna invited those seekers after redemption to see for themselves. No more waiting. Salvation was already here. Upon Jesus, the Anointed One, God placed a crown of salvation. In the event of his crucifixion, it would be a crown that was ugly to the world, but beautiful to those who received his revelation. It was a thorny crown of victory, a royal diadem for Israel. Mary and Joseph did not bring Jesus to Jerusalem to parade their young baby. Jesus did not come to the temple for mere show. As the firstborn of Mary, Jesus was set apart for the Lord. Moses' law required that Mary and Joseph deliver Jesus into God's hands. And so they did. Jesus was the lamb Moses had commanded as the new parents' sacrifice to God. This was the purpose for which he was born. Jesus came from heaven above so that he might return there with us to give us his realm. From the very first moment of his life, his conception in Mary's womb, Jesus' destiny was at the right hand of his Father. But his life had to be lived, and it had to be a human life, under the law with all its demands. He did what we could not and cannot do. He came to fulfill the law and to suffer all that we, who are under the law, should suffer for our own failure to fulfill the law ourselves. In the temple as a young baby, Jesus was placed under the law, revealed to Israel, and committed to his Father's work. From this very first, his whole life was in God's hands. He was the crown of victory for us. And wearing that crown of thorns, he earned that victory and declared to his Father, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. He is the revelation of the consolation of Israel. He is the royal diadem in the hand of God. He lived his life from beginning to end to do his Father's work. And his Father's work was your salvation. He lived the life you could not live and died the death you could not die so that you would return with him to his heavenly home. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
The prayer of the church, we stand to pray.
Eternal Lord God, in the fullness of time you sent forth your Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem us, and to give us adoption as your sons and heirs. Hear us, Father, as we call in his name. Give us grace to rejoice in Christ's blessed incarnation, and grant us a glad new year. Following the example of the blessed Simeon and Anna, that all baptized Christians would embrace the Christ child by word and faith, so we also are ready to depart whenever we are called, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, from whom all fatherhood on earth is named, bless all Christian families and Christian vocations that we will be diligent and delight in your work. Grant us favor, strength, and wisdom. Bless all by your mercy and by your redemption. Grant that we ever serve you in this coming year. Bless Trinity Stecker, Cody Sepulveda, Leah Bayless, Peggy Gallagher, and Joshua Lewandowski as they celebrate their baptism and birthday in Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy God, mighty Lord, you have given power to the nations and to those who govern for the good of our people. Bless our President, Congress, Governor, and all our leaders as we enter this new year. May justice prevail, that your people would live with peace with all. We pray, O Lord, that you bring peace for Israel, Palestine, and the Ukraine this coming year. Bless police and firefighters and those who serve in the military, Mike, Emily, Alex, Eli, Courtney, and Dan, as we thank you for the freedom to proclaim the gospel in our country and world. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear.
Gracious Lord, comfort all who feel forsaken by the sufferings of this life. Grant, O Lord, within the household of faith, we find loving companionship, knowing that Christ is our truest friend. We ask that you bless the family of Peggy Gallagher at the death of her father, Donald Belinsky, and grant all those who mourn the death of loved ones, knowing the sure hope of the hope of heaven in Christ, the resurrection and the life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
During this coming year, we pray that you would bless the mission work of the church of making disciples of all nations. Bless Trinity Lutheran Church and the work we do in 2024. And bless Pastor Daniel Conrad and his wife Kathy as they serve in Mexico City. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Blessed Lord, you help the sick and the suffering and all who are in need of healing. We ask that you would grant healing and strength to Faith Jenkins, Doug Gransberg, Madison Lemke, Candy Darmody, Lenalee Kasurik, Barbara Crown, Larry Klump, Michael Meyer, and Marie Campbell. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Father of lasting peace, show your mercy to those who receive the Lord's Supper this day, that we behold our salvation in the very body and blood of Christ given for us. And like Simeon, be well prepared to depart in peace. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
As we gather the offerings this morning, please fill out the membership or visitor card as is appropriate and pass the pad to the folks next to you. As we leave this morning, please place the cards in the basket in the narthex. You may be seated.
Service of the Sacrament, page 208. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love, shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death, and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, took bread, and when he had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is shed for you.
Thank you.
Page 211, we stand to sing. Upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.